Good morning. Great having your company. And it's always nice to have the company of a friend on the program, particularly when this friend is someone who gives to everyone. And what she does is she gives what we see in our everyday life here in Western Australia, puts it on a canvas and makes it available to us. I'm talking about an artist that you may have seen on my TV programs, Time with John or John on Community, Di Taylor. And she joins us now. Morning, Di.
Good morning, John.
Where do you get your inspiration from? Because I look at the same things you look at, and I don't get a painting nearly as good as yours. In fact, I barely get a photograph.
My inspiration comes from lots of interaction with life and fun, and usually it starts with colour and an emotional reaction to colour. And friends of mine get sick of me sitting there going, oh, my God, look at that colour. It's so beautiful, you know. And then it'll mean something to me and I'll remember it. Most of my paintings are not done from photographs or anything like that. They're all done from a memory of a time or a place or something that I've seen or an emotion, and colour is connected with emotion. So that's really what I try and have as a core essence of the work, is so that people can connect to their emotion.
I could imagine. What's your painting environment look like? Do you have one of those classic studios with paint on the wall and the floors and the smock?
Everywhere. It's poured on the floor. I have a massive long trestle because I have so many pots of paint, and all the paint, I mix up all-purpose-made colours for every painting. So there's usually a range of about 30 or 40 different colours that are mixed up, purpose-made for each painting. And they're in very 1 litre pots, so they're very big. And I have drapes all over the walls and tarps all over the floors because they're just everywhere.
Hey, Di.
And I walk around in clothes that look like I've just come straight off the streets from St. Vinny's de Paul, and everyone thinks I'm this daggy person because I always have paint all over me.
Well, that would be hard to believe. Whenever I see you, you're always looking so glamorous. So there must be two wardrobes for you, the glamour wardrobe
absolutely.
And the painting wardrobe. As you do.
Yeah, there's one that you can only wear into the studio.
Now, you even had a go at designing or certainly artifying regular clothes. Tell us a bit about that.
I used to, and I still do sometimes, make clothes out of my fabrics that I hand paint and make unique things, because I found it really frustrating as an artist not to find beautiful coloured items in the shops that I thought were unique. And also I've fell in love with beautiful Thai silks, so I combine Thai silks with fabrics. And in fact, the step further from that is that I'm having an exhibition May this year in Melbourne in conjunction with a designer here called Sabrina, which is Saab 55, and she is making a range of clothing with my images from my paintings, and I'm doing a range of paintings, and the whole show is combined into an exhibition in May in Melbourne.
Wow.
So funny you should mention the clothing.
What a lot of fun that would be.
She's taking that. Yeah, it is.
So where do we see your art here? Because Melbourne's a beautiful place, and I understand you're in Sydney as well, and I'm sure we'll see you in other parts elsewhere around the world. Where do we find you in Perth, Di?
As of Monday next week, I'll be in my new studio. I'm actually moving this weekend to a new studio in Lake Street, which is 239 Lake Street, right next to the Italian Club.
Oh, I know it well. A lot of fun there.
Yeah, going into a space with a photographer whose brand name is Full Stop. So I'll have a nice big space there to paint, and everybody's welcome to come and visit me. I always have an open studio, which means I also have works hanging there that people can view and purchase. And my policy is that more people that you involve yourself with in your life, the more understanding there is about art practices and artists, and the richer my life is because I get to interact
That's
with
true.
Everybody. So.
Hey, Di, how important is it to prepare the canvas and use the correct paints? Because I've heard some stories of people where they've looked at a painting and said, well, I don't know about art, but I know what I like. They bought it. However, the artist hasn't known much about art, and all the paint has come off the canvas, just kind of peeled off.
That's not good.
So, I want to buy my art.
The archival materials. Yeah, you must actually make sure that the quality of the canvas and the stretcher, particularly the stretchers, there is a lot of imports from China and Asia, and the wood does not stand our dry conditions. You know, the wood is so light and also it's not the right density for the Australian dry conditions, so the wood cracks and bends and warps and things like that, and it's too green. So you must make sure that the stretcher is quite substantial and that the canvas is at least a 14-ounce canvas. And you can touch it and feel it just by, you know, feeling it on the side or, you know, putting your hand around the back of the canvas, particularly if the gallery will pull it off the wall for you. There's no problem with you looking at the back of a canvas. If they've got, the artist has got integrity, you should actually have a poke around and just make sure it's got wedges and keepers at the back that actually hold all the stretcher in place. And usually it's quite weighty. If it's a sizable painting and it's light, you know that the canvas is not going to stand the test of time. And the other thing is the paints. Acrylics these days are just as good as oils and as archival wood, and the pigments will last as long. So really there isn't a discussion between acrylics and oils anymore like they used to be, but they must be good quality acrylics, and you can usually tell that by the clear colours. If there's clear, beautiful colours in the painting, you will see that they're good quality acrylics. And usually you can ask, and particularly if it's worth more than a couple of $1,000, you'll always get a note with the painting saying about its qualities and what the paint is used. I never have a problem telling people what type of paints I use and mediums I use, and then it should be maybe sealed. I do practice sealing mine every single time, mainly because I like, one, to know that it's going to last and not get damaged, and two, that it can be in a house with children.
Is
and
that sealed?
People can wipe it.
Okay, so you paint it, then you seal it. When you seal it, does that change the art in any way? Does it make it less vibrant?
No, it actually makes it more vibrant because the acrylics, and I use acrylics, tend to flatten out. Their paint molecules flatten out when they dry. So when you varnish them, they will plump up again. And so therefore they're nice and vibrant, and the reflective surfaces is back to a sphere again. So therefore the colour is just as strong as it was when it was painted. Whereas you'll notice cheap paint, and sometimes you'll see an acrylic surface that is all very dead and lustreless. And then you'll know that they've actually used cheap acrylics and it's not a good quality. But usually if you ask and the artist has integrity, they will tell you exactly what they've used, and you can research it and know that they're good quality. I mean,
they're
good quality.
I love this kind of information. Well, this helps us to make sure that we protect our investment when we do, because there's some people probably yet to buy their first piece of art, and you'd like to think that if they do spend some of their hard-earned dollars, that it's going to be around for a bit. Now, Di, what are you working on right now that you're most passionate about? What's that awesome painting on your easel that you can't wait to dab another colour on?
I'm painting Crawley again, which is always my beautiful heaven, which I love. I went down there the other night and painted Crawley and some drawings and this beautiful blue, Prussian blue water and amazing cityscape that, you know, you've painted it probably for 20-odd years now, and, you know, it changes, and every time it's something different that spikes my interest. But I'm also still painting some beautiful seascapes and waterscapes for the my gallery in Queensland. Sometimes I have to have more than one painting on the go because I wait for a layer to dry between paintings, and so therefore I'll move on to the other painting and come back to it while the big heavy blobs that I get a bit enthusiastic about might put a bit too much on, have to wait for them to dry between coats.
How long do they normally take to dry? I'm guessing 2 days.
Sometimes they can take up to a week.
Wow.
The big blobs, and then I have to be quite careful, and it has to lie flat until they're actually dry. But most of the time, particularly in this weather, it's like 2 or 3 days.
Di, just before we finish up this morning, what inspiration or what advice would you give to a budding artist tuned in this morning?
I think that talking to other artists around Perth, I think the thing that we lose sight of is is talking to the consumer, talking to the person that actually is buying work. And one of the great things about having an open studio is, you know, I do get to talk to them and they do get to find out how passionate they are about what they're buying and how much they remember your work, you know. And I have people that remember something that I painted 6-7 years ago and go, oh, and they didn't even buy it. They would say, oh, I remember this on the wall there. It was, you know, and they'll describe it to me and I go, oh, I know exactly what painting you're talking about. And I think that's something that we actually lose sight of as artists. We get so involved in our own journey that we actually don't stop and listen to the impact we're having on the community at large and what we actually are putting into the community. And they're our biggest, fallback position, because the more you talk to them, the more you learn about yourself and the more you actually, they learn about you, and then they will help you through the journey.
Yeah,
that's my feelings anyway.
It's certainly a tough school to go to, that one that you're referring to. It takes a challenge. I love it. Di Taylor, let's make sure our friends tuned in this morning know how to find you. You've got your street address in Northbridge next to the Italian Club, 239 Fitzgerald Street, Northbridge. And you've got your website, which is easy to find. It's Di Taylor, one word, DiTaylor, ditaylor.com.au, or the email there, which you'll find on the website. Well, it all sounds exciting, and we wish you good luck with your new studio, and we can't wait to talk to you next time, Di.
Thank you very much, John, and thank you for having me on the show.